up, pimpin'?
Yeah, let's not use that.
Yeah, don't use that, Brian.
Okay.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of the Baylor Lariat Sports Podcast. This is Joe Holloway. I'm here with Brian Bateman and Nick Dean. What are we starting off with baseball today?
Yeah, we are. New season, new outlook for the Baylor Bears. Starting out with Pacific, University of Pacific, three-game series. End up going 2-1, winning the series, and moving from number 8 to number 6 in the baseball rankings from Baseball America. So it's a pretty good weekend for them. It was pretty close. Opening weekend, you never really know what to expect from your offense, but it's a pretty close game all the way through. So I guess we'll start going through. I went to the Friday game, so I'll talk a little bit about that. They trailed the entire game. To the eighth inning. Actually, it's the ninth, two outs, and then Greg Gleim, of all people, hits a kind of a blooper. It should have been caught, but the right fielder didn't catch it, letting Chris Slater, a pinch runner, run in to tie the game, and they scored to win in the second inning, or then the tenth inning.
Dan Evett hit the...
Right, Dan Evett, yeah. The walk-off single.
Walk-off single.
Yeah, so that was a good win and pretty impressive there to see the fire they had in the last couple of innings. But
started off something of a trend.
Right. Mm-hmm. Something all weekend long,
at least
right?
So far.
Yeah, it was pretty tough to do that. But, yeah, Logan, I'll start talking about this. The freshman Logan Verrett came in relief of Kendall Vols and had a great night coming out there. And I think he threw 8 strikeouts and only gave up two or three hits. Vols, of course, did well. He had 5 or 6 strikeouts, something pretty close to that as well, in hits. But, once again, just like last year, they were having a little trouble hitting, and they're trying to swing at the first pitch every single time. But they pulled it out on Friday. Now, Saturday, Nick was there, and it was a slightly different story.
Let's see. They came out, and right off the bat, Pacific scored 4 runs, first top of the first inning, and Baylor was down. They went scoreless for the first 2 innings, so it was 4-0. Sean Tolleson started for us as pitcher, and he just had, as Smith said, he had no command for the first 2 innings at all. But then he warmed up and he got a lot better. And then Baylor consistently scored in the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, at least 1 run, all the way up to 3. 3 was there during the 3rd, and so they just kept adding. But then Pacific would have these huge innings to where it finally, it would just go back and forth. Pacific actually was 4, it was 4-0 for 2 innings, and then finally they came above and got 3 again, so it was just so close. But then towards the 9th, the Pacific Tigers just hit, ball after ball and was just getting people, they were just getting loaded on the base, and then I think a BU error just finally brought one home, and the Bears couldn't end it at the bottom of the 9th, and they lost 9-8. It was cold. There was one highlight. It was very windy, and sophomore Adam Hornung still hit a homer, which was good. So,
right, yeah, that was a tough loss, but then they rebounded on Sunday, Joe.
Sunday was a good ball game. Bears led for most of it. They were actually up 4-1 going into the top of the 9th, and let the Tigers tie it up 4-all, send it into extras. And then loaded the bases, and freshman Lucas Heilman, the Tigers put 5 people on the infield. He's a freshman, figuring he's not going to hit it too hard in anywhere. But he managed to sneak one through first and second baseman over there on the right side of the infield, and then scored the winning run in the 3rd of 3 close games.
Right.
So.
Yeah, so that's... that was the series against Pacific. They do have one tonight against BYU on television, but you definitely want to check out our blog. I think we do better coverage than anything you can get on TV, right?
Oh, for real.
Without a doubt. But yeah, BYU is a good club. I'm not too sure about their record this year. I know the last couple of years they've been
solid.
I wouldn't say they're a great team, but they're pretty solid. And then they got a game on tonight, on Monday, and they got another game on Wednesday, and then. And then they head down to the Houston Classic where they play teams with the caliber such as Rice, who was number 7, and Texas was number 5 preseason. So that's going to be a tough tournament for them. And And so that's coming up this weekend. Mm-hmm. And also, Aaron Miller, was that, Nick, you said?
Yes, in interviews prior to, like, right before season started, Smith was talking about how within the first five games he wants to get Miller on the mound to start at least once. And so this is game four, and I'm expecting maybe Miller to start. That's not a definite or anything, but he said that he will have him starting in between the first five games, depending on what he sees over the weekend.
I think actually at the end of the third game he said that he was starting Miller.
Okay, all right. So look for Aaron Miller to get his second career start. His first came last year on about the same time of the year. It was about the fourth or fifth mm-hmm. game of the year. So that should be good to see him.
And then we did move up two spots because of the win against Pacific, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah. We're moving 8th to 6th. So. Moving on to the other side of across the Getterman Stadium, we got softball this weekend where they swept Sam Houston State, who, as much as you know, you want to say they're Division I, AA, or FCS, FB, I'm not sure exactly on those names there, but they are a good squad. They knocked off a top team, a ranked team this year already, and they took A&M to 14 innings. We all know how good A&M was last year.
Glad I didn't cover that one.
Right, exactly. So anyway, but Baylor swept them, so that should be a good sign for Coach Moore's ball club. Whitney Canyon, of course, had 16 strikeouts on Friday in a 10-inning affair, 2-1, which is exactly the same as the men's game.
Who did that?
Whitney Canyon.
Oh.
Yeah, of course. And then Shayna Brock got the start on Saturday and pitched pretty well. Ended up winning that one, I believe, it was 8-1. And Sunday they won as well. This week they got Oklahoma Christian on Tuesday. And then they've got the QTI softball classic at Getterman Stadium this weekend, so it should be a good matchup there for them. Because I think there's a couple of good teams coming in. So, and you never know with softball; it's one of those games where it's close all the way around. So, but that's all for the baseball diamond and the softball diamond. And we'll be back in a few minutes and talk about some stuff from the hardwood this past weekend.
Hardwood.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Edit that out too.
Yeah.
All right, we're back, and I think we're going to discuss basketball, both sides of it. I think we're going to start off with the women, though.
Mm-hmm. Starting with the women, they had a tough game up against OU. They played well, but Joe, what happened up there?
I didn't go to the game, but I did watch it on TV, and it just looked it was a good game. They played hard. OU was a little tougher on the boards, though, out-rebounded Baylor. And it just looked it really was a game that could have gone either way. OU got a few more things to fall for him down the stretch, which, makes or breaks games like those. So it was definitely a good game. Could have gone either way. Another one that went for OU.
And you're saying, along with the rebound, is that one of them actually fell right into somebody's lap, literally.
Oh, yeah. Not only did OU out-rebound Baylor, OU out-rebounded Baylor sitting down in one play. If you envision, if you will, four Baylor Lady Bears, surrounding the glass, and one Oklahoma Sooner, Whitney Han. Her first name is Whitney.
I believe so.
And she fell down to the floor, and the ball could have gone anywhere. And I guess maybe that, one of the Lady Bears should have intercepted it, but it just seemed like it could have gone anywhere, and it went to the girl on the floor, and she was able to dish it out without walking, and then, OU got 2 points on the play. So it was just kind of one of those days, I guess.
Right. Now, was that in that, you had mentioned there was a stretch there of about 11 minutes.
There was an 11-minute stretch where Lady Bears could not get any points. I don't know if you want to attribute that to good Oklahoma defense or Kim Mulkey was saying in the press conference Monday that they had some good looks. Certainly you give some of the credit to OU's defense, but sometimes shots just don't fall.
Right. Yeah. But you also said, Danielle Robinson had a good game.
She had 19. Courtney Paris had 18. Thing is that Kim Mulkey's been saying every time we played OU is that Courtney Paris is going to get her points, and that you have to just kind of concede those, maybe not concede them, give her a hard time for them, as much as you can, but more than likely you have to account for those points being scored and that you can't let other players get have great days as well, because Courtney Pierce is always going to have a good day. So with D-Rob, Danielle Robinson getting 19, that certainly didn't help the Lady Bears' cause.
Right, yeah, so that was tough for them. So now Oklahoma has a pretty good seal on the Big 12 title, because it's the regular season title. And Baylor will probably get the number two, but that's okay because you still got the tournament coming up, and you never know what can happen in there. And then you got the NCAA tournament after that. So
Lady Bears fans should just start cheering for Aggies women's basketball in Texas if they want a one seed. But
right, it's gonna be a tough route there for them. But the good thing is they are playing Texas Tech at home. Now, of course, they had a little trouble with them on the road. The Lady Bears did earlier this season, but what happened on the road there? And then
Tech stayed in it for a good while. Second half, though, Lady Bears returned to form and generally gave it to them. So,
right, that's a pretty tough place to play, isn't it?
If there's one, there are a few places that just talking to coaches and players that they don't like to play, and Texas Tech is one in every sport. If you're talking to football players, soccer players, anybody, nobody really likes to play in Lubbock. Pretty much it's a toss-up between them and OU, I think, for most sports, but generally Lubbock's a difficult place to play.
Right.
So no doubt having this game at home is going to work in the Lady Bears' advantage.
All right, definitely. So they got that on Wednesday. Now, moving over to the men, they had, once again, another loss. They had a week off, and they couldn't pull it together against Oklahoma State. Tweety Carter did have a great day, though. He was out there shooting and scoring
insane shots from,
right,
exactly, like half court.
Right. And Anthony Jones got, I believe, 21 minutes of playing time, so that was good to see. But they still just couldn't. They were just having trouble with Oklahoma State, much the same as they had trouble with them here at the Farrell Center last time. They went to overtime with them here, and you can always add about, I think they say, 3 or 4 points for on the road, and it was a 10-point game, but it was pretty close to that. Anyway.
Well, Tweety Carter, he just needed help
right,
that he didn't get. He was the only one. I mean, he surpassed his scoring average immensely, but I don't think anybody else on the team even, I think Gerald's had, 9 or so. Darius Dunn was under his average. Kevin Rogers was under his average. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of – when you have 4 out of 5 starters under their average and Tweety Carter putting up 30, I mean, it helps. Keeps you in the game, but it won't win it for you.
Right, exactly.
Gerald's just saying that the rest of the team needed to pick it up.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, but moving on there, then the men do have 2 games this weekend. Well, if you can call Monday a weekend. They got Colorado on Saturday, which seems to be a pretty good matchup for Baylor. The last couple of years, they've matched up pretty well with Colorado.
The Bears, in order to even remain as an NCAA tournament possibility, have to win all 4 of their remaining games. And mm-hmm. Colorado should, it looks to be one of those that will go in the win call.
Right. And but even though they have, in the regular season, they played well against them last year in the Big 12 tournament, Baylor was the 5 seed and Colorado came as a 12 seed. And Colorado ended up upending Baylor in double overtime. I don't know the exact score, but it was by 4 or 5. And, it's... You never know with Colorado. They had one kid who graduated who was really good.
Bears will have to come to play.
Get ready. And then they got the big game on Monday in Austin. They got Texas for ESPN's Big Monday.
That's the game that has the biggest potential to keep the Bears out of the – if six loss streak and mm-hmm. losses to OSU didn't already do it.
Right. Then that game could easily be a trap, but we did see how tough it was for OU of course Blake Griffin got injured on it was Saturday. Or
it's apparently the key to beating OU.
Right, apparently.
Give Blake Griffin a concussion.
Texas did end up beating OU that game, number 2 in the nation. So that that's gonna be a tough place to play, and they've got a lot of good players. I think Ball Bay is gonna start for them at the point, and AJ Abrams is gonna be the two. But it's gonna be a tough dogfight like it was last year. And hopefully, Bears can pull it out and make it a 24-game losing streak to Texas. So, yeah. So that's pretty much all we have for you today, as far as basketball and earlier baseball and softball. So, thank y'all very much for listening to us, and we'll be back next week with some more wrap up from the Houston College Classic, some basketball stuff, and softball stuff as well. So make sure to check back next week.
Goodbye.